Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace. I don't know if some of you saw the little TV piece that was on ITV yesterday. It's still available on the ITV hub. I couldn't tell you about it before. We were sworn to secrecy. I don't know why. But anyway, it was a really nice piece. I was able to chat with Michelle Heaton. Most of you know, probably seen Michelle's story. She's a former Liberty X singer and presenter, of course. And she's been very open and very candid about her journey. She literally almost died. She was on a drip through excessive alcohol consumption. And this is her first Christmas sober. So this feels so magical for her. And it was a little pre-recorded piece that we did at the Grove in Hertfordshire, which was so Christmassy. It was just gorgeous to be there, actually. And Michelle was chatting, you know, obviously about her own experience and thinking about tips for having a sober Christmas. But I'm really grateful that the producer invited me to come along, obviously a few years further on, nearly 4 years sober. And also I invited, there was a Sober Club member invited as well. Dupe Withrick from the Sober Club was invited along. And so we kind of shared our little bit of our story and gave our tips from the perspective of grey area drinkers, as opposed to those who are at rock bottom. And I'm really grateful that she gave us that opportunity, because as you've heard me say so many times on this podcast, I think it's massively important that Michelle shares her story and explains what it's like to be at rock bottom in that terrible, terrible place. And to show just how amazing she feels now and how great she looks. It's a complete transformation, and it's really powerful. But I really genuinely believe that the millions of people who are grey area drinkers need to hear something that's relatable to them as well. Certainly when I was drinking, I would have seen someone like Michelle and thought, wow, that's so powerful, and been really impressed and inspired by her. But my thinking would have been, oh, well, but I'm not that bad. And so I'd have carried on regardless, you know, despite the fact that I was waking up at 3 a.m. hating myself. So I think it was great that the producer invited us and allowed us to share our perspective from a grey area drinker's perspective. And as I've said so many times, the fabulous thing is that you do not have to wait until you get to rock bottom before you quit the booze. And if you've already sober, if you've been sober for a long time, don't wait. Don't carry on being miserable. Don't wait before you embrace life in, you know, all its glory, really. It's all about doing the work, isn't it? It's all about focusing on the positivity, and of course that's what we do in the Sober Club. So it was fabulous to be invited to do it. I wish there'd been a makeup artist. I did not like the way I looked on there, but hey, you know, be kind to yourself. That's what I'm always saying. But anyways, it was really good to get that message out there, and to just share that that's what we do in the Sober Club. We're a community where, you know, connection is absolutely everything. I also got to share my mantra: keep the ritual, change the ingredients, because of course we were talking about what we can do to socialize over Christmas, and we're going to talk more about bossing your Christmas sober. But as I say, I got to share the famous mantra, and to that end, this week we've teamed up with Equinox Kombucha. Now, you know that I'm such a fan of kombucha, I was just about to say my love of kombucha has been brewing, which is a very good choice of words. But, you know, it really has since I went to Canada a few years ago, and it was literally on every single shop. I've just been so impressed to see that it's so much more widely available now. And Equinox Organic Kombucha is just a fantastic fantastic brand. It's craft brewed, is the expression, bottled and delivered from the Calder Valley in West Yorkshire. And I found out that, you know, they had such an interesting beginning because the founders discovered kombucha tea while they were backpacking around Asia and thought, okay, I think I'm going to, you know, experiment with this. I like the idea. I like the elements of kombucha. So they started creating some and sold it from the back of an old camper van, sold it at, you know, market stalls and trade shows. And then from 2014, the awards started flying in, and then they were handpicked by the Grocery Accelerator, which is a kind of a Dragon's Den style mentoring program. That was 2015. And then the business was thriving. But then this is one of those stories, your heart's in your mouth and you hear this, Boxing Day in the same year, after everything was going so well, there were severe floods in the north of England, and they literally had to start again from scratch. So their positive philosophy and tenacious community was really their saving grace. And they forged ahead and carried on, keep on keeping on, and opened their first brewery site and their bottling plant. And that forms the foundation of how they produce today. So they create this healthy fermented green tea that has five cultures, organic acids and antioxidants. And the organic raw kombucha is also vegan and gluten-free. I get asked a lot whether it's okay to drink kombucha if you are, if you're gluten-free. But it might mean, as they say, that you find some bits of kombucha culture, tea culture in your drink. But as they say, floating blobs and strands of culture are completely natural. They're the good bits. What I do love about this brand is that they've got so many fabulous flavors, and you can get them in cans or bottles or multi-packs, or you can mix and match your favorite. They've got a kind of pick your own box option. So there's classic organic kombucha flavors are there, of course. They've got the original, the peach and turmeric, the raspberry and elderflower. They've got pink, grapefruit and guava. Wow, that one sounds really interesting. The wild berry and ginger. And there's also now a River Cottage range, because they created this range, the garden, the hedge, the meadow and the orchard, with Hugh Fernley Whittingstall, flavors from the wild and the river cottage garden. And then, of course, you can opt for some really unique flavors, because they've also got the virgin mojito, the espresso coffee. I'm dying to try that one. And a special edition spiced gingerbread, which is perfect for Christmas, of course. So fantastic brand. And of course, this is one of the brands that you can find, you know, on the high street, not only online. You can actually find them in Holland and Barrett or the Co-op, Mitchell's and Butler. And as obviously, you can also buy online from equinoxkombucha.com. And if you really love kombucha, then check out their subscription service, and then you can get the booch delivered to your door. We've got a competition as well, so make sure you check that out. Put details on thesoberclub.com. It'll be in the show notes as well. And over at imperfectlynatural.com, where I've got lots of competitions, you can check out a chance to be in to win some of the fabulous Equinox kombucha. So talking of keeping the ritual, changing the ingredients, making sure that you have got the drinks you love in for Christmas, then you are going to want a few other tips as well. I've said lots of times, give your friends a heads up. That's important. Do make sure you've got the drinks and the food that you like. Do be willing to step outside if it all gets a bit too much. Make sure you're connected. That's where the Sober Club is just so brilliant. And there are a few other tips and tricks that we want to bring you, courtesy. I mentioned this last week, but courtesy of my guest this week, who is Joe Creed. Joe's from Beyond NLP, a fantastic master trainer in NLP. I did my training with Joe. She's just fantastic. It really explains things so brilliantly. And Joe did an exclusive session for us in the Sober Club. But before we did that session, she did a kind of a all singing, all dancing tips for us all, really. So I thought you might like to hear them. Here we go. Well, most people know that I love talking about NLP and everything linked to it. And I'm so thrilled to have Joe Creed as a guest. Joe's doing a special session for us in the Sober Club. But I thought, you know, got to grab her first and just get some of the lowdown. Joe, just intro yourself, would you, and tell us some of your amazing work that you do with NLP.
So I'm an NLP trainer. I've been doing NLP training now for about 11, 12 years, I think. So I train lots of different people in different areas, and I also coach people utilizing NLP. And we get people come on NLP training for different reasons. Some come because they want to do it for themselves and they want to get rid of some of the things that are keeping them stuck or holding them back, or they want to build some of the resources like their confidence. Other people come because they want to utilize NLP in their communication or in their business or in their coaching, because it's a great add-on for your coaching skills as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when I did my training with you, you know, I was really quite surprised at how NLP works in so many areas of everyday life. You know, I think when I first started, I was literally focused on me as a coach. You know, I was thinking, okay, these skills are going to be really useful for my coaching work, both with the kind of media relations stuff I do and with obviously the Sober Club coaching. And I remember thinking, right, this is going to be great. But I don't think I had realized the extent to which I would end up using it in my everyday life, which is why, of course, it's so brilliant for people to do your core skills, you know, whether they want to be a coach or not. But yeah, but just remind us of some of the ways it can be so incredibly beneficial for everybody in their everyday life.
Well, I think, you know, I was a bit like you when I first went on my very, very first NLP training. I was like, oh, I want to learn this to do this with other people. But for me, it was kind of like the missing link for everything for me. Mm. It completely changed everything about my life, because what NLP can do for you personally, it's very different from counselling. It doesn't look at the why of things, but it allows you to basically let go, for example, of past memories that have really kind of kept you stuck. Things people have said to you, experience that you've left that maybe unconsciously you're reliving. And it allows you to completely let go of that and deal with so much of stuff that's going on for you in the now. It's a huge area, and so much things like your limiting beliefs you're holding on to, habits that you're running, the way that you are filtering and reacting to people in your relationships and people that you come across, how you view certain situations, all of that can completely change. Strategies and habits you're using for things, it can really, really just sort of like completely shift those and give you some amazing resources as well.
Yeah.
And your communication with people that you deal with, whether that's your family members, partners, people at work, it really does enable you to be able to communicate in a way that absolutely optimizes the chance of you being heard and understood, which is great. And for coaching, it's brilliant.
I can see why it works so well when, you know, you were saying you sometimes work with organizations, and I can see why it can work brilliantly for that kind of certainly for teams of people or resolving conflicts. I mean, God, every workplace needs it, don't they?
Yeah, because you'll find very much with organisations, you know, for example, it can be used in so many ways. Just one example, I work quite often with organisations that are going through a change. They might be bringing two teams together and then they go, oh, we've done all the process stuff. Why is it still not working? Why are people not happy? Mm. It's because they haven't done the deep level stuff with the people. And NLP gives you so many tools to be able to go deep level, whether it's with teams of people or individuals.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the session we're going to do, which is on, you know, how we can ensure that we stick to what we said we want to do. So we've called it how not to hit the fuck it button. I know you're not going to do the whole session now, but can you just give us a few kind of guidelines or a few little tips that might benefit everybody, you know, just on how NLP can help us decide to do what we've said we want to do?
Yeah, I think there's so many ways. When we think about something that we want to do, we need to think about, so NLP looks at things like our metaprograms. So things like what really motivates us, that's one area that it looks at. So a tiny little bit of that is, for example, if we want to think about, we want to ditch the booze, we want to give up drinking or whatever, we very often think, oh, okay, I've got this problem. I feel tired all the time. You know, I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way I look when I'm drinking. So that's our problem side of it.
Mm.
But some of the reason why we don't then maintain, yeah, or reach where we want to go is we haven't really thought through what we want to achieve when we've moved away from the problem. So we've not really envisaged, and NLP gives us ways to be able to really, really connect with what's it going to be like in the future, and bring that, get that really emotional connection and that visual connection with how it is. So that's just one tiny, tiny way. And if we think about the whole thing around booze, it looks at things like, okay, what's the habit?
Mm.
You know, is the habit when, you know, you come home from work and, you know, you've had a hard day and immediately you're drawn to, you know, a glass of whatever. With NLP, what you can really understand is, okay, what is it that's happening that's triggering me, and how can I resource myself to basically collapse that trigger,
yeah,
so the trigger doesn't have the emotional response from me and that need to go forward.
Mm.
I mean, do you want me to just sort of cover a couple of little
yeah,
things?
Yeah, could you? That'd be brilliant. Yeah, thank you.
As we're talking, we're just before Christmas.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
We could also talk about, you know, I mean, obviously this relates to whenever. One thing we look at in NLP is also ways of being able to communicate to ourselves what we need and to other people for what you need. The way I train, I incorporate NLP and also something that's called clean language, which is a real way of utilizing your language with other people to get deep, but also to utilize it with yourself. So, for example, if you think about Christmas, think about, actually, what is it I really want? How do I want Christmas to really be?
Mm.
How do I want this occasion to really be when it's at the best it can be? Yeah. How do I really want that to be? And actually connect with that. Think about it. What is it? What would it be like? What would I be seeing? What would I be hearing? How would I be feeling when Christmas is how I would want it to be?
Mm.
Okay, and then you think, okay, so how do I need to be in order to get that?
Mm. And that's a really important bit that I love about NLP. When you bring in that question,
yeah,
you have to actually take some responsibility, don't you? Rather than just going, well, I want it all to be marvellous. You yeah know, you have to actually ask yourself, how do I have to be?
How do I have to be in order to do it? And then the third question on this little, so it's called a clean setup, this little series of questions, is that okay? In order for Christmas to be like that, in order for me to be like that, to get Christmas to be like that, what support do I need
mm
from other people? What do you really need from other people to help you? And then it's a good idea to kind of list it down and then to have that conversation and tell people, because we often think people are mind readers, that they know what it is that we want. But unless we communicate with them and explain to them, so for me, this is how I want Christmas. I know for me, this is how I know it to be. And this is what I need from you. Can, you know, I'm asking you to give me this specific support that I need. Mm. So think about it. What would really help you? That's a great one as well.
Mm. Yeah. And I can really see how that can make a massive difference, because you're right. There's a lot of people who have stopped drinking. There'll be a lot of people listening to this who have perhaps a couple of weeks in, or maybe a week or whatever. And they do want to carry on, and they really do feel committed to that, but they can be feeling very wobbly about Christmas, because Christmas throws up, as you say, all these different emotions, different triggers. Suddenly out of the blue, you hear a Christmas song, or you're putting the tree up and it's like, oh, hold on. This is the moment when I have a Baileys, or this is when I have this. And it's such a strong trigger that if you haven't prepped ahead, you know, you're absolutely right, you could find yourself just hitting that fuck it button right there, just like, oh fuck it, you know, I haven't got anything else, it'll be all right, it'll just be one. And then, yeah, you know, and then you're down that slippery slope. Whereas if you've thought it through and visualized yourself, as you say, visualize yourself putting up the tree or whatever it is you do, holding something lovely that's alcohol free, you know, whatever it is for you, you can absolutely get past that. But the, as we were saying before, the how do I have to be is the, is for me, that's the real key. And that's usually the one that gets missed out, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's really connecting with that and going, okay, when I'm at my best, yeah, what is that really like? How do I feel? Where is that feeling? What do I see? How do I breathe even when you're really, really like, you know, you at your best and how I need to be? And then it's thinking about, okay, if I start to, so you think about the support you need. It's also thinking about the support that you need from yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
So for example, if you feel like, okay, someone's triggered me. I know great Auntie Myrtle said the thing that she always says at Christmas, yeah, that makes me want to, yeah, okay. What can I do? Give yourself permission to do something. If it means permission to walk outside, go into the loo and scream and then come out again, give yourself permission to do what you need to do. If it's permission to give the dog a quick walk around the garden or up and down the street, give yourself permission to do what you need to do to support yourself as well.
Yeah. And I think there's this sort of fine line, isn't there, really, between that kind of taking responsibility and self-care. But then, of course, one of the problems that a lot of people listening to this will have is that they're people pleasers. And they actually find themselves doing something they don't want to do just because they want to make someone else feel better. And certainly when it comes to alcohol, you know, you'd be amazed the stories I hear. I had a client today who said to me that she really put the work in and prepped ahead for an event she's going to. But when she let people know and she gave them a heads up, someone actually wrote back to her and said, you've made me feel really sad, really sad. Like, why would it make you feel sad that I'm not putting, you know, toxic poison in my mouth? But unfortunately, that's the culture we live in, right? And so there's a danger that if we are real big time people pleasers, we can end up doing something we don't want to do because we want to be nice to someone else.
And I think that very much happens. You know, a lot of what we talk about with that people pleaser is actually what we're doing, was we're coming in as rescuer on the whole drama triangle. The interesting thing is, very often when we're people pleasing, what we're also doing at the same time is we are gold medal mind readers. We mind read what it is the other person. So actually, if someone gives you a comment, or somebody's pushing you to do something that you don't want to do, the first thing to remember is, be honest, that's their stuff.
Exactly.
It's their stuff. You know, what they're doing to try and push you is actually trying to give themselves something. Yeah. An excuse or whatever. It could be anything, you know, but it is their stuff. And the other thing is, if they do say something, it's a good thing to kind of like do this little step back and imagine that you don't know them, that you may be, you know, you're a little alien sitting in the corner, and be curious about actually what's going on for them. So for example, the person you were talking about, when someone said that makes me feel so sad, I'd go back to them with, okay, I'm curious, what is it about me deciding I don't want to drink that makes you feel sad? And actually be curious, because chances are it's about them.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
underneath the surface for them. So if you use that, I'm curious, what is it about? Curious, you keep encouraging me to have a drink, what is going on? I'm curious what's going on for you.
I mean, I think this is what's great about NLP, isn't it? Is that it really helps you to notice your thoughts rather than just railroading through all the emotions and then reaching for a drink or whatever it is. You have to actually pause and notice.
Yeah, absolutely. Notice what's going on. And also, there's a great saying in NLP, it's going, what happened just before? Yeah. So we can feel something or feel a pull towards something or whatever. What actually happened just before? Because it's the just before that's the trigger. Okay. And it's a bit like, I love the analogy with NLP. It's a bit like looking out of a different window, taking a different view. You go, okay, is there another way I could look at that that actually would empower me more.
Yeah.
And thinking about it. The other thing is, this when people give you their stuff, their comments, and recognizing it's their stuff. It's, you know, if you were, I don't know many people on the call have got dogs, for example. Okay. But even if you have or haven't, you're going out for a walk with your dog, okay, and or just walking through the park, and you see somebody else with a dog, you know, big Great Dane or something, and the dog does a poop on the path. Do you go running up with your poo bag and pick up that dog's poo? We don't, do we? That's the responsibility of the person that's actually walking the dog. And yet we spend our life picking up other people's poo.
Yeah,
don't we? It's
really true. Really true. We feel responsible for their poop.
We do.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, you know, you were saying about, you know, this being the life and soul of the party and the triggers and everything else that's going. You know, one thing that we do in NLP is we also very much learn from. Yeah. We have a saying, another saying is we all have the resources we need.
Mm.
Yeah. But sometimes we bury them. And we learn to forget them and bury them, put them aside through stuff that happens in life. If you think about kids, okay, look at a 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid, or remember how you were when you were, yeah, okay, how you were and could enjoy yourself. You could play, you could have fun, mm. Yeah, you could do all of that. I mean, I don't know many 6, 7, 8-year-old kids that need more than a glass of lemonade to do that.
Absolutely.
So remember, you have that. You have the ability to be able to play and have fun.
Mm.
Sometimes we just need to be a bit childish, and rather than go, oh, as an adult, I need these things to allow me to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, the other thing around about Christmas and kind of holiday time is that many of us get to see family members. And it's really interesting how, you know, fully grown adults become children again and start reverting to those kind of patterns and, you know, even find themselves coming out with quite kind of horrible things just because they're being triggered at being with their parents. I mean, that's an interesting one. I think everybody needs a dose of NLP before they meet their family.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to deal with all that. So that we probably haven't got time on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Family to trigger you and everything.
Yeah.
And there is a little tip that you can do that. Okay, if you kind of think about, okay, so I'm reacting against so and so with this emotion like frustration or anger. You can kind of go, okay, how would I rather react instead?
Mm.
Okay. And you can do something. Yeah, it's a bit along the playful. It might look a bit weird, but you can even do it in the moment or just walk out for a moment. And we call it power posing.
Mm.
For any of you that have seen the Amy Cuddy TEDx talk, she talks about power posing. Actually allowing ourselves to physically getting a strong, like standing there in a Wonder Woman pose with your hands on your hips. Just allowing yourself a few seconds to just really breathe deeply. Look up. Looking up is a great one as well. Really look up to the ceiling. Breathe deeply. Just get your physiology nice and strong. Just for a few seconds is enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore that can really resource you as
well. Yeah, it's brilliant. Really brings you back to in this moment, I'm safe. I'm okay. I don't need to have to pretend that I'm 5 years old again, right? Brilliant. Jo, thank you. I really appreciate it. I know you've got some events, free events coming up, which I'll put in the show notes, links for people. So I really appreciate your tips and thank you for doing this piece for us in the Sober Club.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Jo. I'll put details of your events. I know there's one in January, which are free workshops. I'll put a link to that on the show notes. Make sure you check that out or go to thesoberclub.com. Click on events where you'll also find details of the Champneys retreat. There are some spaces. It's 8th and 9th of January. As you know, the really gutted that the sobriety breakthrough event with Simon Chappell was cancelled But if that has freed up any time for you, then the 8th and 9th at Champneys at Tring in Hearts, we do have spaces on our self-care and sobriety retreat. Doesn't matter what stage you're at. You might be sober curious. You might have been sober for years. You'd be very welcome. So check that out. There's another one as well at the end of February, Champneys in Leicestershire. And then don't forget, we have our Family Constellations Day. Big topic, hard to describe in a few sentences, but do check out the page all about what we offer there. That's a 1-day event in Hertfordshire, Sunday the 23rd of January. I so hope these things are gonna happen. Oh my goodness, everyone's feeling super nervous at the moment with everything that's being announced. Anyways, we're gonna keep the vibes high and hope that these things all go ahead. And then in February we've got another date for a Sober by the Sea, which are held in Southend, just a 1-day event for visioning the new you. I'm also going to be doing something on either the 1st or the 2nd of January, a motivational online session, because I love doing stuff around setting your intentions for the new year. I think it's super important, particularly, you know, when you're in this kind of lifestyle where you really want to focus on your optimum health and well-being. Don't do that resolutions thing that people do. You know, sometimes people start doing their New Year's resolutions over Christmas or before Christmas. And I don't know, in my experience, they just always fail. You just write down a load of things that don't really mean much to you. And it's far better to really focus on setting your intentions for what you really want for your life rather than meaningless, you know, resolutions. I will never eat chocolate again. I mean, who are you kidding, right? Well, maybe that's just me. Anyways, so I'll see you same time next week, which is going to be feeling incredibly festive. We'll have to do a little bit of a roundup of some of our guests from across the year, I guess, as we head into 2022. You know where to find us. Don't struggle on your own, particularly at this time of year. I've had a few people come back to the Sober Club, people who joined us and then left us because they thought, oh, I'm good. And then, you know, just felt really kind of lonely. So make sure you stay connected. It's super important. Don't forget, that great brand Equinox Kombucha. It's equinoxkombucha.com, and we've got a competition to win some as well. You can find me at Janie Lee Grace, hashtag the Sober Club. You know where to find me on social media. And if you want to catch up on that little TV segment with Michelle Heaton and Dupe from the Sober Club, then you can go to the ITV Hub and click on the Lorraine Show from Thursday the 16th. Yeah, Thursday 16th. That's how you'll find it. I will see you soon. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability, and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.